This morning, if you take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21, you'll find our text this morning in verses 15 through 17. John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. That you find that, would you please stand with me so that together we might honor the reading of God's Word this morning. John chapter 21, we'll begin reading in verse 15. The Bible says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Jesus saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Jesus saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? Peter said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed or tend my sheep. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause just for a moment. Father, it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we come this morning. A name like no other name. A name that is so powerful that just at the mention of his name, the Bible tells us that the demons flee as they tremble. The most powerful, the most sweetest name to ever cross a person's lips. The mention of his name, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Father, I pray that today we would not hesitate to call out the name of Jesus. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. Lord, speak truth to our hearts today from your word. Spirit of God, show us God's grace. Show us God's forgiveness. Show us God's love today. Make the personal application that each of us need. I pray, Lord, that as we take up this love offering, this love gift, this tithe, I pray that it would be pleasing in your eyes, Lord, these acts of obedience. As we give back that which you ask of us. Father, speak, and I pray that you give us ears to hear with this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The theme of the last chapter in the Gospel of John is the public restoration of Peter. Peter had failed not only the Lord Jesus in his denial, but he also failed as a leader before his friends and family. We wonder if Peter's fear were not that he would never again be recognized as one of the apostles, or even worse, that he would be remembered as a coward. We must push aside all of this mano-mano stuff and remember. Now listen now, remember that God doesn't operate like we do when it comes to sin, to failure, cowardice acts, and restoration and forgiveness. I'm going to say this a number of times this morning during this service, but failure is never final with God. Failure is never final with God. And this my intent this morning is I want to drive that home. See, what we have before us, and by the way, Peter's faith did not fail. He sinned, But his faith didn't fail. And if we're not careful in the day that we live in, because we're so performance-oriented, what does that look like? It looks like this. Well, you know, I believed God and I trusted God and it didn't work out, so I didn't have enough faith, performance-oriented faith. Well, I made a mistake. I did something immoral. I did something, you know, I said the wrong thing. I lied. My faith, I'm a failure. And you see, the devil will come along and he will take that stick and he will beat you with it all of your Christian life. And there's only a problem with that. It's a lie. Because if you go to Galatians 2:20, it's not your faith to begin with. It's the faith of the Son of God that he gave you as a gift. His faith will not fail. You remember what Jesus told Peter in Luke chapter 22? He says, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus prays for something, you can flat count on it. It's going to get answered. Peter, after you've turned, after you've come back, after you've, they use the word in King James, after you've been converted, it's not that he was saved again, but Peter, after you've turned around, you got your head on and your heart right, I want you to come and I want you to teach your brothers and your sisters what you're going to learn through this experience of denying me, Peter, because you're going to deny me. Peter's faith did not fail. He sinned. Some of you are looking at me like I got three heads. How did Peter get into the mess that he's in? We're going to use Southern slang this morning. Pam, it helps her better when I do that. Brown, it's just if I use Southern slang. He's in a mess. How did he get there? You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 13? He said to him, Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. Peter said, you're not washing my feet. In the same chapter, you're not washing my feet. He says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you know you can't have anything to do with you, and I'm not going to have anything to do with you. He said, Lord, not only my feet, but wash my whole body. Peter, he was missing the whole thing. Why? Because Peter is a picture of self-confidence, a picture of flesh. Peter was the man. Peter was the leader. Peter was man-o-man-o. He was the guy. And Jesus literally had to break him of that so that he could use him. Later on in chapter 13, Jesus talks about that he is going to die. And you remember, this is John chapter 13, you remember what Peter said? Nope, not on my watch. You're not going to die. I'm not going to let him. I'll fight for you. I will go to prison. I will even die for you. And then Jesus tells him, Peter, Satan is going to come and he's going to sift you. Now these are all the Gospels combined. Satan is going to come and he's going to sift you, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you've turned back, I want you to teach others what you've learned. So here we've got Peter. What he did, he didn't just deny Jesus. We've got to just put it out here on the table. He lied about the fact that he even knew Jesus. See, when we say, well, he just denied him, well, you know, that's a little soft, that's not too hard. No, he lied to save his own skin because of where he was. He was in the very courtyard of the high priest, and they were, I'm telling you, right then, Jesus was getting pummeled and being abused, and they're all gathered around, and the disciples have fled, and they're all scared. And a little teenage girl says, I know you, you're one of them. I don't know who you, no, I'm a, no, 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 no. And then Mark says that the third time when he lied, he even began to swear and curse like an old Galilean fisherman would. Jesus has already appeared to Peter after the resurrection. He's told them that he would see them where? In Galilee. The Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, is not Galilee, because they were Galileans. That's a country. That's like a county. That's where they're from. But listen to the grace of God. Jesus goes where they are to meet them. Why? Their faith hasn't failed. They've just fallen into sin. They need to be reconciled. They need to be restored. Now watch this. What Jesus is going to do, he's going to stir up the memory of Simon Peter and these other six that are with them, by the way. Well, look down in verse 15 with me in John chapter 21. So when they had dined, stop right there. They've been fishing all night. This is verses 1 through 14, been fishing all night. Jesus is standing on the shore. They don't know it's him. He says, children, have you any meat? This is verse 5. Then he tells them to cast the net on the right side of the ship. And they do, and they're not able to draw in for the multitude. John, the beloved, says, it's the Lord. You know what happens. Peter jumps in, Mr. Spontaneous Combustion. He jumps in the water. He swims to shore. He's so excited. He helps them pull the net in, and being the fishermen that they are, it's kind of like the St. Augustine guys. I caught 153 fish. They drag them in. And then Jesus has the hot coals. He's got the bread, and he's got the fish cooking. Peter is waiting for the other shoe to drop. Why? Because you remember back in John 13 when I mentioned to you the fact that Jesus told Peter, he says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. See, Peter, that's still a sore spot with him. Why? Because he's thinking in his flesh that Jesus has embarrassed him, and Jesus shouldn't talk to him that way, because if anybody loves Jesus, Peter loves them. Peter loves Jesus more than anybody. But when he denied him, he proved what Jesus said, that Jesus was right and Peter was wrong. You see, folks, Peter was trying to live out his faith in the flesh. This is what he could do. This is what he wanted to do. And because it was all about Peter, when he failed, when he sinned, his faith disappeared. That's why he goes fishing. But Jesus is coming after him. This morning, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The Lord Jesus, not only is he looking for you, he knows where you are. He has found you, and he's going to be speaking to your heart this morning. You say, well, my name's not Peter. Okay, we'll just put your name in. Because you remember in the boat, there were seven, and they named five, and there were two nameless seats. You're in the boat. You're in the middle of all that's going on right here. Now watch what takes place. Jesus comes, and you know, we've seen this and we've read it, but there's something I saw last week that I'd never seen before. Watch what happens. The emphasis I'm going to put in my voice. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now we could say, well, is he talking about the disciples? Is he talking about the fishing boats? Is he talking about the fish? He's talking about, let's don't get caught up on that. Let's look at the issue here. And then Peter says, yea, Lord, watch this, thou knowest that I love you. James Montgomery Boyce puts it this way. Jesus asked him, do you love me with God's love? Let's say that's a 100% love, pure, high octane, God's love. Peter answers with a mid-grade, like a 60% kind of love. That's the best he can do. It's phileo. That's the best that Peter can do in the flesh. But I want you to know, go back to verse 15. He says, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Peter is saying, I love you with all that I have and all that I can. And then Jesus says to him, part of the restoration, I want you to feed my lambs. Now, the lambs, those are the babies. Part of the restoration that's going on here. Remember when Peter denied the Lord, when he lied about knowing the Lord? Not only did he sin against the Lord, he sinned against those other disciples who were in that group that day too. So not only does Peter have a fellowship problem, he's got a leadership problem. His character has a stain on it, if you please. Peter's now suspect. Think about this. If big, strong Peter can fall, then what about the rest of us? We're all in trouble. So Jesus is not there just for the sake of Peter. He's there for the sake of all of them and us. Failure is not final, is never final with God. So, well, I failed. Okay?
I'm a failure.
Uh-huh.
It's over.
Uh-uh. Our flesh is so dangerous. We try to prop up our Christian faith with it. We try to live it out. And then when we fall, our faith comes in. I mean, our flesh comes in. And you know what our flesh does? It coddles us. It babies us. And it does. And I had an old evangelist friend do this one. It's okay. It's okay. You tried your best. You did so good. You did so good. You did so good. Biblically, you need to get over it. You were a failure to begin with. You're going in as a failure. Don't forget that. Now, Brother David, you just hurt my feelings and my self-esteem. It's dead. It's flesh. It will destroy your life. It will ruin you. It will ruin your relationships. It will mess up everything around, and you will not have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's too much of you and not enough of Him. That's the problem. Peter, you know what Peter's getting ready to learn? And Jesus is going to ask him two more times, Peter, do you love me? And then Peter's going to say, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. Everything I've got, I love you. Yes, I am willing to die for you. But you know what Jesus is going to do? He met him down at the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. And he is going to meet him there. And he's going to say, Simon, I'm going to come where you are. And I'm going to bring you up by the grace of God so that you can love me in the power and strength of my spirit and not your spirit, your flesh. Peter, what you've got to learn is what we've all got to learn, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to learn to love ourselves less and love Jesus more. What did John the Baptist say? I must decrease so that he can increase. You wonder why we're so touchy, why we're so defensive, why we're so prone to draw back when we sin? It's because we failed. We've embarrassed ourselves. We have looked bad. People will not think of us as being this, and people will look down upon us, and we're not going to fit in the group. And folks, that's a lie. And Satan will use that against you every time. Let me tell you something about the omniscience of God, the all-knowingness of God. Number one, God knows the worst about me, and yet he still loves me. We can say amen. And number two, he knows the best about me, and he still loves me. And you go, well, which way is it? God loves you in spite of yourself. But until you get self out of the way, you're never going to experience his love. And because we love ourselves more than we love Jesus, listen now, we're loving him wide open. I mean, I love Jesus, and we'll cry and we'll make vows. And I know you love Jesus, and I'm not saying you don't, but just like Peter. But you'll never be able to love God 100%. And you know what? There are people around you who need you to love them with 100% pure love. Because that's how they're going to see the gospel. That's how they're going to understand the gospel. You know what? I'm going to chase this rabbit, James, and I'm going to get him. I have a list of names, and I'm keeping score. Sarcasm, I thought was a spiritual gift, and it just came natural for me. And so I'm going to keep score. I've got Harry Beatty. He did not look at me this morning. Minus one for Harry. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's, there's Buzzy sitting on the front row trying to get some brownie points. That will not work today. Minus two. Okay. Minus two, minus one. Okay. Looking out, looking out, looking out. Larry Belford. Okay. Yeah. Big guy. Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay. Trying to be nice. Smiles all the time. He's probably on something. We'll just mark him down minus five. Okay, so I've got my list. And see, what I'm measuring all of these dudes with in my list is the fact that I'm Mr. Perfect, and they can't keep up. And that is pure flesh. And so I hold grudges, and I hold reservations, and I don't trust, and I don't understand, and I'm very concerned, and we need to have a prayer request written out because, you know, they just have needs. And if you want to know the needs, just call me. My phone number is 806-680, and I will share those prayer requests with you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is us. But if I'm loving you like Jesus loves me, I see your faults and I see your failures, and I love you in spite of yourself. And that's not going to change. You say, yeah, but what? I'm not keeping score. I can't. It's not my scorecard. It's his. Let me. Failure is not final. Listen to this. Her name is Rita Snowden. Listen to this quote. You ask me what forgiveness means? It is the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgraced him. You got to let that one sink in a minute. It is the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgraced him. Peter? You disgraced the Lord Jesus. And Peter's running away from Jesus. And guess who comes and finds Peter? The love of God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. Listen, you know that I love you. Peter, I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my sheep. Thirdly, I want you to tend. I want you to take care of. Peter, you remember my prayer for you? Peter, I'm going to pray that your faith is not going to fail. It won't fail, but once you come back, I want you to teach what you have learned through this time in your life. You know, one of the greatest biblical lessons that we can teach others is when God deals with us about forgiving us, is that we, in turn, do what we practice by forgiving others. God gives us grace. We allow God's grace to pour through our lives. God loves us. We love through our lives. And you see, you can't do that in the flesh. Why? Keeping score. There's no grace in keeping score. You just need a calculator so you can add it up. And you got to have good memory. And don't forget that you're perfect. We're all train wrecks. We just hadn't got off the tracks yet. We hadn't come unglued. We hadn't hit the wall yet. We haven't run out of track yet. And if we do, it's not going to be my fault. It's going to be their fault. They put the track in the wrong place. You know how those track people are. They don't do anything right. I think Mama Clara gave Sandy this little thing. And she's got it sitting on the counter. And you can look at it, either side, it says the same thing. And this and this. It says, I'm not bossy. I just know what you should be doing. That's us. Because see, we're smarter than God. We know more than the Bible. And we know how it's supposed to be, and we know how we want it to look. And pretty soon, before you get, you know, we start out saying Jesus and Lord and God, and then it's me, mine, I. You need forgiveness today. Because somewhere in life, you have disgraced the Lord. You lied that you knew him. You denied him. You've fallen into sin. And you see, you think, I'm just not strong enough in my faith. It has nothing to do with your faith. If you have the faith as a seed of mustard seed, and that is the smallest seed, you can barely see it, God can use it. And besides that, he gives you that faith. It's not yours. It's a gift. What we need to do is to be humble and honest. Jesus asked Peter three questions and literally subdued him. He didn't break him. He subdued him. Jesus didn't come down there to embarrass Peter and to break him, you know, and because he was Jesus was going to need a manly man to stand up before all of these religious leaders. But what he did do was, he says, Peter, I know you love me. And Peter, you know that I love you. But Peter, I need you to walk not in the flesh, but I want you to walk in the power of my love and my spirit. Peter, you've got to learn to love yourself less and love me more. You know when I know I'm loving myself more and more? It's because I'm defending myself. I'm justifying why I said what I said, why I did what I did. I'm trying to prove. I'm trying to make it right. I'm trying to be logical. I'm trying to make sense of it. And the Lord in His grace stands waiting, and He keeps asking you the question, do you love me? And you say, Lord, you know I love you. And the Lord says, yeah, I know you love me, but your actions tell me that you love yourself more than you love me, because all you do is defend yourself, you justify, and you're standing in the way. Jesus is going to restore Simon Peter. We need to never say, I can do it, Lord. I know I can. I know my heart. But we need to say, rather, Lord, you know what is in my heart. You put it there. You know what love I have for you. Take it and make it into something that will abound to your glory. Failure is never final with God. Your faith will not fail. Your flesh will. It has. But if we have sinned, 1 John 2, we have an advocate with the Father who is Jesus Christ the righteous. So what do? We ask for forgiveness. I'm not asking for forgiveness, because if I ask for forgiveness, then I'm admitting that I was wrong. Yeah. I'm not admitting I'm wrong. It wasn't me. It's other people. Okay? So there. What do you think about that? I don't want to think about it, because you're out of fellowship with God. And it's not that God doesn't love you. You love yourself more than you love God. And you're having all this sweet fellowship with yourself. And so you can't have fellowship with God because you don't want to. Because it's all about you. See, you say, well, yeah, but I love God. Nobody said you didn't. But you can't love God just with the flesh. You've got to love God with His love, which is pure and which is powerful. And you see, folks, if we're not careful, we can say, my faith, my love, my, and then what happens is you've got your own little kingdom going on over here, and everybody else around you is being neglected and forgotten, and that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to save us from ourselves, our sin, our flesh, so that we could what? So that we could spread the gospel, the gospel is love and forgiveness and joy and peace and being reconciled and being restored. That's what the gospel is. That's a powerful message. There's people all around us need to be forgiven. Really forgiven. Not this, okay, just don't do it again. I'm watching. Okay? Go ahead. I'm watching. Getting too close to the line. No. That's not how it works. That's not God's love. Forgiveness is the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgraced Him. And then someone's counting and they're thinking, well, David, what if, how about 70 times 7? You're not going to wear out the forgiveness of God. But hopefully somewhere in this process of asking for forgiveness time and again, even for the same sin, somewhere along there, you're going to say, Lord, I am so tired of this. And he said, I was waiting for you to say that. Now let me be your strength. Let me be your protector. Let me put something in place of that sin that you keep committing. And I will give you the power to become the son and the daughter of God. That's what he does. That's what he does. Years ago, I was fishing with my brother-in-law. You know, Barry was a football coach, and he was about he was not as crazy as Keith Carmel, but he was crazy. I mean, they're just crazy. And Barry had this fear of alligators, and I have a healthy fear of alligators. As long as they're in a cage, I'm not afraid of them. But you put me in a lake when one's following behind your little 14-foot bass boat, I am terrified. So I'm in the back of the boat, and I'm watching this thing. And back then, we didn't have a well that you could put fish in. We put them on a stringer. And every once in a while, this gator, and I every time he'd get closer to the boat, I promise you, at one time, I thought he was at least 30 foot long. He was a monster. He was probably 4 foot, but he was huge. Because he'd get close, and he would open up that mouth, and then, you know, and the fish are kind of back there, because they know they're getting ready to be something's lunch, and they just go, boom, man. I mean, I'd jump and embarrass him, pull a stringer in. I'm having this tug of war, and I'm thinking, he can have the boat, fish. I mean, I don't care. I'm going to give him the pole. I'm going to give him you. I don't care, because he's not getting me. So Barry's up there, and he's standing up, and he's got the little trolling motor thing going, and he had a bad knee. And he's up there, and we're on the trolling motor thing, and I'm sitting in the back, and I'm not fishing. I'm watching the gator. Barry, he speed up, and the gator, you know. And then all of a sudden, Barry turned, and when he turned, his knee popped. And when it popped, he went in the water. And I'm looking at the gator. And I'm telling you, I went boom, boom. And when I looked back, he wore coaching shorts, and he had his wallet back. I look back, we're probably 7-8 foot deep in water. He's sitting on the side of the boat. He didn't even get wet. He looked like Flipper coming out of the water. Boom, boom, sitting on the side of the boat. And he goes, whoo, whoo. I'm going, whoo. And he goes, where's the gator? I said, he's still right there. How did you do that? Whoo, I don't know. He didn't walk on water. He didn't know where the stumps were. He went down. He got back up in the boat. Some of you have fallen overboard, and you're trying to fight the gators, and you're trying to figure out where the stumps are, and you're trying to figure out how deep it is, and how long you can tread, and how long you can, and you are so tired, and that's your faith. And you know what Jesus is saying? All you got to do is get back in the boat. I'll take care of you. You got to get in the boat. You got to get in the boat. Some of you jumped out of the boat because you didn't like the direction it was going in. It wasn't moving fast enough. You got to get back in the boat. The boat's where the fellowship is. The boat is where the protection is. The boat is where life is. You got to get back in the boat. And it's his boat. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in Jesus' name we come. Lord, some of us have jumped out of the boat. Some of us have fallen out of the boat. Some of us are not comfortable in the boat. Some of us do not like the boat. And that boat's called Christianity. It's called the Christian life. And it's not what we think it ought to be. But God, you came to save us from all the stuff in the world that not only will ruin our lives, but keeps us out of fellowship with you. And Father, we've become so comfortable and so used to not being in fellowship with you that we're okay with that. We're okay with just praying every once in a while. We're okay with reading our Bible every once in a while. We know, we sing the hymns, we know some scripture, but we also know that we really don't have real peace, and we really struggle in relationships with others because they they get on our last nerve, and we just, everything seems to be a battle. And we're tired. We're tired. Lord, we need to come back to you, get in the boat, enjoy the ride, the fellowship with you. Love ourselves less. And God, when we love you, we can love others more and more. And that's what the world needs to see. True, genuine, patient, peaceful, agape love. And we cannot do it in the flesh. And we know that. The Spirit of God's already borne witness to all of that. So I pray in this invitation time that each of us would be subdued. And we would understand that our faith has not failed. We have sinned. We have failed. But there's forgiveness for our failures, for our sins. And as we come with repentance, you will gladly forgive us and you will restore us. And then you will give us power to forgive, to love, to serve others without even so much as a thank you, because we do it for the King. Why? Because of what He has done for me, what He's done for us. Who would have thought that a king would die for me? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.